Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. We've been waiting for a long time, and today, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Manny Machado, that's the sound of him cashing in. The San Diego Padres have agreed to a deal with the free agent infielder, and it's a huge one. Machado's new deal, 10 years, $300 million. That reported deal, which includes an opt-out clause in the fifth year, would be the biggest free agent contract in the history of North American sports there. The two sides will have to hammer out some language in the deal, and Machado still has to pass a physical. Last season, the 26-year-old hit .297 with 37 home runs and 107 RBI for both the Baltimore Orioles and then the Los Angeles Dodgers. Over the course of his seven-year career, he's appeared in four All-Star games. He's got two gold gloves. He's hit for a .282 average along with 175 home runs and 513 home runs to boot. Solid numbers there. This agreement ends nearly 3 months of speculation about the prized infielder's destination. He had varying degrees of interest from the Yankees, White Sox, and Phillies. And after Machado signing, the Padres' payroll still sits at approximately $110 million. The question now is, where is Bryce Harper going to go after this big move? And even with this massive signing of Machado, the Padres have not ruled out potentially signing Harper as well. The team still has money to do it. San Diego, once known as cheap, has spent in recent years. The organization gave first baseman Eric Hosmer an eight-year, $144 million deal just 1 year ago. They also inked Will Myers to an $83 million contract extension back in January of 2017. Plus, they have one of MLB's top-rated farm systems to boot, so maybe some good times ahead for San Diego. Duke has reclaimed the number one spot in the NCAA AP poll. The Blue Devils earning 58 of 64 first-place votes to earn a third stint at number one this year. Duke climbed one spot to replace Tennessee, who lost to Kentucky over the weekend. Gonzaga, they move up to number two. Virginia, number three. Kentucky moves up to four. And Tennessee, they go from first place to fifth after a tough weekend. Nevada, Michigan, UNC, Houston, and Michigan State round out the top 10 in college hoops. Let's take a look at that NCAA sked in top 25 in early action tonight. First off, at 6 o'clock, Dayton and Davidson get things started. 6 o'clock tip-off, Davidson minus 3.5, 133 is the total there. Then we have number 5, Tennessee, hosting state rival Vanderbilt. Volunteers minus 17.5, 146.5. Number 25, Buffalo entertains Ohio. Bulls laying 18, 155. Number 15, Purdue at Indiana. Nice rivalry there. Boilermakers minus 6 on the road. The total in that game, 138. A battle of two top 25 teams in the Big Ten. Iowa hosting Maryland. The Hawkeyes, 2.5-point favorites there. 147 is your over-under. Number 4, Kentucky at Mizzou. The Wildcats, minus 11.5, 133. Number 16, Florida State at Clemson. The Tigers now minus 1, 132.5 is your total. And the late game, number 19, Iowa State taking on Baylor. Cyclones laying 10 points. And the total in that game, 140. Antonio Brown and Steelers owner Art Rooney clearing the air on a lot of issues today, but one thing is certain from both parties say, hey, it's time for the Steeler organization to move on, and he's got to leave town. Brown adding, if your team has guaranteed money, give him a call. He'll pick up. The 30-year-old receiver desires guaranteed money, and it comes a year after quarterback Kirk Cousins signed a three-year fully guaranteed contract with Minnesota for $84 million. Minor deal, the Arizona Cardinals have signed former Bills tight end Charles Clay to a one-year deal. And interesting story here, the startup AAF has actually been saved by a National Hockey League owner. Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, made a $250 million commitment to the new league last week in its first week of play. That investment was necessary to save the league from missing payroll. Dundon will serve as chairman of the AAF Board of Directors effective immediately, according to the Carolina Hurricanes. The AAF just completed its second weekend of action on Sunday. Champions League scores right now. We have some live action going on for my boy Yang. Liverpool and Bayern Munich scoreless at the half. Lyon and Barcelona also 0-0 at the break. We've seen that movie before. Busy Tuesday night on the ice. 9 games on tap. 4 at 7. Buffalo and Carolina. Cats laying 140. Total 6. Pittsburgh minus 70 at New Jersey. Over under 6.5. Tampa Bay laying 30 sets in Philly, over under 6.5 there. Carolina hosting the New York Rangers, Canes minus 205, total 6 at 7:30. Columbus at Montreal. Montreal a small favorite at 125, over under 6. Leafs and the Red Hot Blues meet in St. Louis, should be a good one. Blues minus 30, 6 is your total there. Anaheim at Minnesota, Wild a big favorite, minus 210, 5.5. And Nashville, they hit into Dallas to take on the Stars. Stars minus 15 cents, 5.5 your total. And the late action, Arizona at Edmonton. The Oilers are laying minus 170 over under in that game, sits at 6. Keep it locked to the Fantasy Sports Network for all your entertainment needs. My boy Gabe Morency, he's the host. I'm Red Heat, he's Rage. Stay tuned for Red Heat and Rage. We're going to have our friend on, George Kurtz, Long Island Rage, talk a little bit baseball, a little hockey, and a whole lot more. So keep it locked right here to Red Heat and Rage on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back right away.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network. Game time decisions.
Welcome to Red Heat and Rage Radio. I'm the Rage and Redhead, Cam Stewart. You hear the update there. Busy night in hockey, basketball off. My boy Gabe Morency will join us on the show. He is Rage. I am Red Heat. And we will go over the board tonight. Lots of betting talk. Our buddy George Kurtz will stop by and a whole lot more there. So stay tuned. Lock it in. We are your network for everything from gambling, DFS. It was interesting, too. Listen to Scout Radio, a little NHL DFS. I'll have a lineup for you on the board as well as we took a look. Busy, busy night in the National Hockey League with 9 games on tap. And a good night in college basketball. The NBA, they're still on their break. So right now we'll go through all the boards on all the lines. We got all sorts of stuff coming up on the show. George Kurtz, as I mentioned, will drop by. He'll have some hockey picks for us. And interesting night in college basketball, too. A couple good games. As I mentioned, 6 o'clock, we got an earlier start there. Dayton and Davidson kicking things off at 6 o'clock. Davidson minus 3.5, total 133 in that game. And then the big boys, they get going a little bit later on in the show. Tennessee right now taking on Vanderbilt. They're 17.5-point favorites, 146 in that game. Buffalo, big win against Toledo on Friday, and the Bulls laying 18 tonight against the Ohio Bobcats. Big, big spread, 155 the total there. Number 15, Purdue at Indiana, and a whole lot more. But the baseball world, that is the big story right now. Manny Machado signing on with the San Diego Padres. And we talked about this organization used to being tight. The Padres used to like to save their money, but now they're really going to spend it now. Cha-ching, cha-ching. The Padres, 10-year deal, $300 million for Machado. So that is unbelievable stuff. He is cashing in. And the crazy story about this is they said, hey, Bryce Harper might be available too. I doubt that's going to happen. But the Padres have saved for years. And we talked about the signings that they've had. Used to be a cheap organization, now spending. What about that deal with Eric Hosmer? 8 years, $144 million. And Will Myers, $83 million contract extension. And now Machado. So San Diego, the doormats of the West, actually spending some money. And it's nice. We waited for the Padres. Hey, we remember the good old days with Tony Gwynn and Steve Garvey, and these guys have been doormats for a long period of time. It's nice to see the Padres finally spend some money. We'll see what happens there at later on with this Bryce Harper deal as well. We don't know what's going to happen, but they basically were playing chicken with each other, and one signed now, so I think the other one has to sign, and hopefully that'll work out. We'll see what happens, because we have no idea what's going to happen with Manny Machado. He's still got to pass that physical. I think he'll be okay. He's going to go see a doctor. He's going to pass. And then Bryce Harper waited. I don't know. The Philadelphia Phillies seem to be the right mix for him. And we'll see what happens there. Lots of great news out of baseball. I told you the NBA break and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. It's Red Heat and Rage.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
right, let's do this thing. Game Time Decision, Red and Gray Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Cable Renzi. Alongside Cam Stewart, you heard Cam throw it down on this Tuesday edition of the program. We'll try to track George Kurtz down as George joins us every Tuesday. Here you heard Cam mention Manny Machado, $30 million a year from San Diego. San Diego were always that mystery team, the late mystery team that came and basically won his services because they offered the most money. Seems to be pretty simple here. Chicago White Sox, I think, didn't get this high. Evidently, the Philadelphia Phillies didn't get this high either. And we'll see how much money Bryce Harper gets right now, now that this number has been set at $300 million for Machado. And truth be told, I think that a lot of teams sort of think Machado is more valuable than Harper, being an infielder, as opposed to being the outfielder and the production that he brings to the table. But hey, San Diego's not playing around. It's been years that they're just sort of there. Yeah. In the West, the Dodgers always spend money and have been pretty successful. San Francisco have won World Series every couple of years. I think, what, they've won three World Series over the last 12 years or whatever the hell it's been. Colorado, knocking on the door.
Yep.
Arizona is sort of looks like Arizona's in rebuild mode right now. And San Diego, especially with no football team there, too. It almost puts more emphasis on San Diego.
Good point.
And to be better, or at least an opportunity for them. Hey, if we're good, we could take this city over, actually. I mean, next to the San Diego Fleet, they're the only show in town right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And the crazy thing is, Morenci, they got the money. The payroll, $110 million. They still have more money to spend. I really doubt that they're going to end up winning the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. But who the hell knows what's happened in this baseball offseason? It's been crazy. And as I mentioned in the update before, this team is usually pretty tight. But they got Will Myers to a nice extension there. Hosmer. They have a nice little, farm system.
They're actually
too.
Not too tight, to be honest. Yeah. They're just not good.
Yeah, they're going to get better, though. They're going to get better.
There's a difference. I mean,
it's taking time.
They gave Will Myers, they gave Myers a ton of money. They've spent money. Hosmer makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like they've actually spent money. In fact, they're actually on the hook now for over $500 million in contracts through three players, which is pretty insane. You know what the Dodgers are under contract after next year, after this year?
How much?
$8 million.
Ooh. That's nice.
Yeah, like they're not. Yeah, I know, but well, if you're the Dodgers owners, but
for sure,
Dodger fan, dude, there's no salary cap in this league. So like this, they're under this, they're under that. There's no cap.
Spend.
They're making it up, right? Well, we don't want to spend this. Listen, teams have spent a lot of money before and not won, right? Like we've seen it with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
They've spent money and not won. They've tried to not spend money and not won. The only time they had success was when they actually did spend money with Anthopoulos briefly, and it worked for them. It's every team is different, but like when you're in the American League East, you don't really have a choice but to spend money, right? The Yankees are going to spend money. The Red Sox are going to spend money. You don't really have a choice. You're kind of screwed. Like when people point, look at the Kansas City Royals. Yeah, they're playing against like the Tigers and the Indians. It's not like these teams, the Twins, they're all cheap. Right? It's a cheap division. Like when you're in the National League West, it's not really a cheap division. Like you saw San Francisco try to spend money. Colorado have star players. The Dodgers don't screw around. Like San Diego really don't have a choice. You can, even if you have a great farm system, your farm system's never going to win unless it really all comes together and you're in a bad division. Like the Braves, it was able to work for the Braves. The division wasn't great that they're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think this is great for San Diego, and you brought up a great point. You don't have the Chargers there anymore. You got the Fleet in the AFF. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to have to spend. You're going to have to compete. This organization did have glory years when we were a lot younger. It was nice. It's actually nice to see these guys going out there and trying to do something about it. So, I'm happy for San Diego. Always a day late, dollar short, Morenci. I wish I had the futures on them this year instead of last year. Always seemed to get it a little bit too late. I invest, and now they go out and do this. The wins total's got to go up.
Yeah, their win total will go up a bit. It'll be interesting to see the difference, but how much? How much does one player make? Listen, we've seen this before. San Diego has spent money in the past. when they brought Myers in a couple of years ago, they spent some money and it didn't work out for them. They threw money at the wrong guys. But it's hard, like if you're a Padre fan or you're in San Diego, like I said, without the Chargers there now, I mean the taxpayers built for that stadium, right? So there's a reason to go to the park now. Let's bring George Kurtz in and get his thoughts on Machado. $30 million a year. It's not really mind-numbing, the deal. It sounds like a lot, $300 million. Biggest contract in U.S. sports history, I guess, until Harper signs, and we'll see what Harper gets. But, you know, $30 million a year when it's all said and done is, I guess, pretty much in the range that, you know, he could have expected. They weren't going to get $40 million a year, so he wanted the long-term deal. He gets a long-term deal. Machado has an out after 5 years, too. He could bolt San Diego if he wants. George Kurtz steps up in it. What's up, George?
How you doing, guys? Interesting day. Good day to be Manny Machado.
Yes. Very much so. $300 million, we could really go for a piece there, George. That'd be nice. Just a little piece.
Yeah, you know, you have the California taxes. He'll only have a couple of million left. So maybe it's not as crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting that he ends up there.
lots of taxes in California.
I think it's the highest tax state in the country. Well, yeah. Man, or certainly top two or top three. That's why players generally, when they look at that, they want to go to Florida. They want to go to Texas, where they don't get that state income tax. Yeah. You know, you make more money, more bang for your buck there.
You know, aren't they like on the verge of bankruptcy all the time in California too?
Is this whole country on the verge of bankruptcy? Who's not on the verge of bankruptcy? I mean, they got no water in California. They're going to fall into the ocean one day. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I know. I was just saying they have the highest taxes, yet they're broke. You know what I mean, like,
makes no sense. Correlation. Where's all the money going?
Yeah, like it just sort of seems to be a moneyless pit in California. But that's not Manny Machado's problem.
No,
you're right. He's going to get taxed pretty much wherever. I mean, you've got Texas and you've got Florida, but the Tampa Bay Rays and the Marlins weren't in business. You know what I mean? And then okay, you get the Houston Astros. And the Texas Rangers, say you're talking about saving like 7% or something like that. From what I understand, I don't know the full gist of the deal, actually, contractually, but I do know that there's a five-year out for Manny after 5 years. And I also know that, sort of like football, there's a signing bonus. Like, there's money up front and stuff in this as well. I don't know how much. So I guess we'll figure that out. And supposedly, That was a California thing, and Harper supposedly has the same thing. That they're not like, oh, we don't listen to California teams, but if a California team steps up, you've got to play a game with them as far as the money up front and deferred this, and sort of they haven't figured out for tax purposes how they can soften the blow, but you need to play ball with them. And I guess evidently San Diego did there. I don't know what they gave him up front, but you know, baseball contracts are guaranteed, though, right? Either way, this isn't the NFL. So he gets a $300 million. It's just how they figure it out, how it's going to be split up and whatever. I'd like to have that tax problem, though, to have $300 million, right? Would suck to get the government
I'll
that
figure
much
it
money.
Out.
Probably give up. He's got to give up, like, you know, nearly half of it.
Yeah, welcome to Canada. 60%. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
They'll find ways to they'll defer the money. They'll do things like that. He won't give up as quite as much as the normal person would think that it might be half. Because they technically, yeah, it would be about half between taxes and agent fee as well. And you throw that in there. It would probably be close to 40, 42, 44%, something like that. But they'll defer some of the money and there'll be tax shelters. Listen, this is what these accountants get paid for and the agents get paid for. They'll find ways, they'll find every way possible to limit the amount of taxes he pays.
Exactly. This is where the super accountants come into play. But you know, Rob Manfred said just the other day that the reason that they're not signed, that you know, everyone needs to chill out. Tony Clark says that there's various teams in baseball that aren't trying to win and that are hoarding the money. And he specifically stated four teams. The problem was Manfred threw back at him that the three of the four teams are good, right? The Kansas City Royals, they don't spend money. They won a World Series. Pittsburgh actually did spend a little bit of money. They brought people in. Tampa don't spend money, but it works for them. And then the Marlins, well, the Marlins are the Marlins. All right, we'll hit this on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Morning after, every morning, 9 a.m., you heard Joe Ranieri making it rain at 6. Game time decisions, 4 to 7. We got you covered. And Izeri's doing a great job at nighttime with some great guests on the program. And speaking of great guests, we had Phil Savage on the morning after this morning. And Phil Savage, of course, longtime football executive and scout, general manager. He was general manager of the Cleveland Browns. In fact, he drafted, he was part of the team with Ozzie Newsome that drafted so many Hall of Famers. He ran the Senior Bowl for 6 years, from 2012 to like 2017. And until last year, he actually ran the Senior Bowl. So he's a pretty good guy to have on today to talk about the upcoming draft. For the record, he's not sold on Kyler Murray. He's not a fan. Thinks Kyler Murray's going to have some problems in the National Football League. But Phil Savage now is the general manager of the Arizona Hotshots in the Alliance of American Football League. And we see a story here. So some of this stuff is factual, and some of it he says is not. So basically, we didn't have him on to talk about the cash influx. So the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, guys, who says NHL owners don't have money. Yeah. The owner of the Carolina Hurricanes steps up, puts $250 million cash influx into the Alliance League. Basically, he basically owns the league now. He took the league over, and he's the new chairman of the board of this league. Yet I see that Darren Rovell is stating that players didn't get paid in week one, and there was another report that they weren't going to be able to pay players this week unless this money came in. Yet, I don't know, Phil Savage is Arizona, and he said that he doesn't know where any of this is coming from, that they got paid. He said, just for the record, he goes, I don't know where Rovell's getting this, that no one got paid or people didn't get paid. He goes, we got paid. He says, no one on the team didn't get paid. So I think this little, they were on the ropes and they didn't have money, is being a little bit over exaggerated, but at the same point in time, I mean, I don't know if they lost an investor or what the deal is. They needed the money, but every company, like the UFC, borrows money all the time and gets money. Like, yep. Like when they sold, like what that was part of the deal. Like they sold for $4 billion, but it was like, oh yeah, you know, we've borrowed like $1 billion off of people over the years to keep this, you know, cash influxes. Like rich people do this all the time. I don't think the league was on the verge of bankruptcy. I think they didn't have as much money as they would like. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, look, they're in trouble already. I don't look like they're in trouble. Somebody just gave them $250 million. A lot of companies in America that nobody coming in and giving them $250 million, guys. So they're not in trouble. They have $250 million now.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, the Carolina Canes owner is, he was compared to Mark Cuban, right? He's a friend of Mark Cuban, so people were worried that he would do weird things in the NHL just like Cuban does in the NBA. He really hasn't so far, and the Hurricanes are actually in the playoff hunt. So I'm a little surprised he would do this. That's $250 million. I don't know what his net worth is. Maybe $250 million. It was no big deal.
I wouldn't do it.
I probably wouldn't do it either. I mean, not the
NHL. Not the league. I'm not. If I had $250 million... And they were like, all right, you got $250 million to get into pro sports. The AAF isn't what I would put it all on.
Yeah, it's a great point. No, they were like, basically,
I don't know, like, Yeah. For that, I'd rather buy like 20% of the LA Clippers or something.
Yeah, no, I mean? Exactly. Like, you're making total sense. And they said this guy, like, it's kind of interesting, like the backstory. And I'm with you, Morency. I think that, like, eventually there have been no problems with people getting paid, maybe just working it out. And remember, the week one ratings were good, too. And you said it. You bring up a good point. Rich people borrow to you know, things around. He was basically saying he always wanted to be involved in multiple franchises, kind of like the Glazers, you know, with the premiership teams overseas and football and everything else. So he's kind of like a big shot owner junior compared to these other guys. And I guess the AAF is what he can afford to do. And now he's running the show.
Their problem in the AAF is they're paying people too much money. It just is. This is the problem. Like, so the quality of football is very good. Like, it is very good football. You know, it's like the second half of a preseason game with a little more intensity, obviously. Like, they've got decent players, but I think that's a problem. I mean, they're paying every player in the league $250,000.
It's a lot.
And so for a three-year deal, right? And it doesn't matter what position you play. That's whacked. Like, you don't need to give the kicker $82,000 for 10 games. You know what I mean? Like, honestly. And these kickers are the best ones. They're the ones with the best chance of getting into the NFL. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, none of these dudes are getting into the NFL from the Alliance League. They were already in the league. Like, they've already been, like, if they were good kickers, they'd be in the NFL. Second league. Yeah. Yeah, or they'd be in the CFL after.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
So, like, they're playing to keep the dream going. I'm not saying nobody. There'll be a guy or two that'll pop up on a practice roster again or get back signed again. But for the most part, I was thinking about that the other day because I was looking and I'm like, yeah, you're not going to make it back. You're not going to make it back. It's almost like they're better off auditioning. Like, people said, oh, the AAF is going to hurt the CFL. Look the other way around, man. The CFL can pluck these guys. You know what I mean? Like, CFL can say, look, this receiver's good. He's only making 80K US. We'll give him 300 Canadian. Right? And it's a much better deal. And it's a better league. It's a better everything type of deal. But I just think they overpay. Like, they can't pay every player so much. I think that'll catch up to them a bit. You want to be cool and throw money around. But so I was thinking about that. So I saw, like, a kicker. The guy was on San Antonio. And he was drilling, like, 53, 54-yarders. And, you know, pretty convincingly, too. And I'm thinking, it's not like, you know, like, they already know if you're a lineman. They're already like, yeah, he's too slow on his feet. You know what I mean? They're like, that's why he's not in the NFL. Or he's too this. He's too slow. You know, he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the explosive speed off the line of scrimmage. So there's all these things that keep guys out that have a lot of talent out of the National Football League. But, George, if you're a kicker, if I'm a scout, and I'm seeing some dude in the Alliance League and he's booting 54-yarders all the time, why don't I give him a chance? It's not like physically he's outmatched or slower or worse than an NFL kicker. Give him a chance. I think kickers have the best chance, actually, of showcasing their skills in this league more than anyone else actually does.
Oh, I would agree. And we see it every week in the NFL. All this team's bringing in six kickers to challenge for a job, right? So you get yourself on film. You get yourself on tape. This general manager can see what you can do. All right, let's call Joe Schmo here. You know, we've seen it. That's why I think this whole league is. It's just a way of get these players get more on film. And maybe rather than a minor league system, which would happen right after the, you know, during the NFL season like baseball does, it gets you during the, you know, the, where the general manager can actually watch these guys work. I think it is more for kickers because I agree with you. I think the CFL would benefit. You know, because they can just pluck these guys. The NFL is like, maybe, well, half a percent of these guys will end up in the NFL at some point. Maybe. Besides
the NFL already saw these guys.
Exactly.
It's a cold world in the NFL. They already saw them. They've already been through the NFL grinder, right? Like, they've already been there. Like, these guys would, you'd rather be on an NFL practice roster than an Alliance team. These guys aren't on practice rosters. Like, they're dudes that got cut by the CFL. Don't want to play in the arena league or too good, like, for, but are still good. Like, there's still a lot of good football players out there. Like, the NFL is such a specialist league, right? You know, you have to meet certain requirements and then it's good and then you're out after a couple of years. But anyway, so the league is pretty safe for the next 3 to 5 years. So that basically the deal. So we had Phil Savage on today and he said that they were told from the onset that we're in this for 3 years. We should be good for 5. now with this money, they're good for the 3 to 5 years right now. They can build it up. And I think the best thing they can do, actually, and we talk about the correlation with the NFL, which they don't really have much. They have a deal with the NFL Network, but is that the NFL, this is Bill Polian's goal, is that the NFL gives their practice roster to these guys, right? So exactly. Practice squad players can get reps. And they don't, you know, they used to have NFL Europe. Like this, when I look at this league, Cam, it's what it reminds me of. It's NFL Europe, but America. It's
very, very good goal.
It's the World League that was in Montreal before, the Montreal Machine.
Montreal Machine. Yep. You know, Galaxy.
Those guys had people that made it to the NFL.
Stan Gelbaugh was the quarterback. He played for the Seahawks. No, they had tons of guys who went. I would say that league had more guys who played in the NFL in the World League. Lots of guys went there. And when you were a high draft pick, you went to the World League first. I remember a lot of Seahawks, they go to the World League, and then eventually, you know, when they're ready to play in the NFL, they went in there. Just No, I thought there was a lot of guys in the World League that actually went to the NFL afterwards. I would say that league even more so than this one, but hopefully they're hoping they can get some guys to the big league.
That was another sort of Roger Goodell. Like, he's anti anything that costs them money to develop anything. Like, they, oh no, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Well, so your players can get reps. I mean, really, NFL preseason games are a joke, you know, so they're evaluating players really on not a lot, you know, of a half. You know, obviously what happens in practice is big, but, you know, I think the Alliance League has a place. But anyway, so I'm just stating, Phil Savage stated this morning that he doesn't know where Revell is getting, that no one got paid and stuff. And I just saw Revell state that players never got paid for week one. And it's funny because Savage even dropped. He goes, He goes, you might have to wait a day or two. So I think they might have been a little late. Doesn't matter what business you're in. The check is in the mail. But he said Arizona have all been paid. So that's just something there. So, yeah, the owner of Carolina, the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, there's the music. Can you turn the levels up, gang? I can't tell when we go to break. All right, talk over. So on the other side, I look forward to your guys' take on Don Terry freaking out about the Carolina Hurricanes. Speaking of the Carolina Hurricanes, he's going to make more money selling those T-shirts than he will off the AAF.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game time decision, Rich Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. I'm Dave Moretzi, alongside Cam Stewart, Jordan Kurtz joining us. Talk a little bit about Machado and signing $300 million, see what happens with Bryce Harper. Machado is a San Diego Padre right now, in case you're just getting out of wherever you're getting out of. Manny Machado signs in San Diego. One thing quickly about that is, looks like Philadelphia is a team that's been pretty aggressive in the offseason, or at least tried to be aggressive. They went after Machado pretty hard. They come up empty going after Bryce Harper. Now, for the record, that's where I think Harper is going to end up. It seemed like last night that this is where we were going with this. I know it's been premature, and people have jumped the gun with Harper a million times. Seemed inevitable that he was going to be with San Francisco last week, but... You know, Bob Nightingale is a pretty I respect Bob Nightingale. He's reputable. He just doesn't throw things out there. I saw Nightingale and a couple other respected guys were stating that it seems like he's close with Philadelphia right now, except we've heard that before, so I don't know. I mean, supposedly the White Sox were close with Machado too, right?
Yeah.
Right now the White Sox are like, well, we just signed all of Machado's buddies for nothing.
Yeah, it's a good point. They were going to bring him there, and now they got to deal with that. That's not cool. Yeah, that blows.
Yeah. He'll be released to some
his
coming
buddies,
tomorrow.
His brother-in-law.
Yeah, what, they got Alonso there? Yeah, yeah. It's like,
Yonder Alonso will be traded. John Jay, he'll be released tomorrow.
Jay, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, guys,
damn, it didn't work.
The only reason we signed you.
Yeah, get Machado here. Pass. Yeah.
up close.
All right, so the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm going to look this up actually in a second. I just want to see where he got all his money because he's obviously pretty
Tom
rich.
Tom Dundon?
Yeah, he's loaded.
So the Carolina Hurricanes in the news, in the hockey world, due to Don Cherry. So Don Cherry lost it on Sunday, I guess it was, during his coach's corner or on hockey day, whatever the hell it was. I don't know. I saw the video of it. Don Cherry's pissed off because the Carolina Hurricanes, after the game, have like celebrations and they come up with different sort of themes after the game. And this one was sort of was a bat flip, like baseball style. So basically one dude, they set up, like one guy had his hockey stick, sort of like a baseball bat, and he got into a batter's crouch stance, and somebody threw, they should have thrown a puck for real, but he threw like a fictitious like pitch at him. He swings the stick, flings the stick in the air, flips it, bat flip style. And then he skated around the bases where the team was waiting for him at home plate. And they all did the baseball jump thing, and they poured Gatorade over his head and stuff. I think they did like a Thor thing the other night, too, or something. He was bitching about.
They do
so
bowling
Don
pins.
Jerry's in a panic mode. Yeah bowling pins. And, yeah, they do different, like, themes. So Don Cherry's freaking out that it's not professional, that it's Bush League, that it's amateur hour, and it's got to stop right now, and it's a disgrace. And basically he thinks it's like the worst thing that's ever happened to the sport of hockey. And I often like Don Cherry, and I often agree with Don Cherry.
I do, too.
Like I'm pretty old school when it comes to hockey about, like, this and that. But this is ridiculous that he's upset about this. Like, if the Leafs were doing this, he'd think it's the greatest thing ever. Like, number one, Don Cherry's a hypocrite with this, all right? I remember he panicked because P.K. Subban, they scored. Subban sort of did like this. He skated like down the rink alone, Tiger Williams style, and he pointed at the logo. He pounded on his chest to the Habs logo. And Cherry was livid. Like, this guy's, I would kill him. And really, he was freaking out. And then JVR did it on the Leafs like a month later, and he had no problem with it. Oh, look at all the heart and the emotion that he has. Right? So Don's a hypocrite when it comes to this stuff. But I don't understand what he's panicking about so much for. The game's over. Like, if you did if you flip your stick and you did like these shenanigans on the ice after a goal, you'll get punched in the head. But you're doing it after the game, guys, when the other team is in the room. You can do whatever the hell you want to do ice after. Yeah. And you're trying to sell the sport in Carolina, get people engaged. The Canes are playing good hockey. They have attendance issues over the years. They're trying to make it fun, Don. Like, I know it's hard to believe, but it's not like the Leafs or the Winnipeg Jets. They don't sell out every game automatically. They're making it fun for people to go to the rink. I think Don's just being a crusty old Don here on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I agree with some of the stuff that he says, too. I think it's ridiculous. Also, he called them jerks. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're calling the team jerks. And then he basically called out Brind'Amour, the coach of the team. Oh, he's a class guy. Brind'Amour says, you know what, Don, I really don't care what you think. We can do whatever the hell we want. And I'm with you. I'm more old school guy, too, but it's fun. The Caniacs, you know what I mean? They got something to celebrate. They come out to the game. They want to have some fun. And they call hockey players boring. That's the thing. Blah, 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 blah. Great game. Oh, yeah. You know, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. So they show some personality, and now you go against it. Well, you know what? Yeah, you said it, Marantz. He picks his spots. And I think Kurt's agree. We talk about this on our weekend show. This is a guy that's just, I told you, like once in a while, Gabe, I think he goes senile and crazy and just looks for something to rang about. But come on, Don. Like, calling them a bunch of jerks is a little bit too much, and I got no problem with it. What's your take, Kurtz?
Yeah, we discussed this on Sunday. I think this is way an overreaction. It would be different if any member of the losing team was still on the ice. If they were doing it immediately after the game, all right, that's showing up your opponent. Yeah, as Gabe said, you're going to get into fights, and you're going to have line brawls. But they're in the locker room. They're in the bus on the way home. They're in the showers. Who the hell cares what the winning team is doing at that point? I mean, if I'm playing there and I lost, I don't care anymore. Game's over. I don't care if they're playing. I think they have played Duck Duck Goose. Actually, I think that was one of their things. They did the limbo. They did the limbo on Sunday after a win. You know, the game's over. I'm not even seeing this. You called attention to something that probably a lot of losing teams don't even know about or care about. I like Don Cherry. I like the fact that he's not afraid to voice his opinion, but he's wrong here. He's just wrong here. I mean, let him have some fun. I don't care. They're not there. They're just not there. They're not even watching.
I like the fact that they're telling him to screw off, though.
No, I know. It's awesome. Like, they don't care.
Because a lot of teams, a lot of hockey people are scared of Don Cherry. It's sort of the, they want, you know, ooh, you don't want to upset Don. Like, you want the stamp of approval from Don Cherry. But, like, you know, at this point, does it really matter what he says? You know what I mean? You know, what I agree with Don the most of is about on-ice stuff. Like, he's actually good. Like, when he breaks down, you know, listen, a defenseman should have did this. Don't do that. He does get the little code thing. He's been around forever. He does, but it's kind of like, you know, it's comical, actually, that exactly. He used the term jerks when Don Cherry pumps the tires of a lot of guys who are jerks in real life, all right, to do bad things in real life off the ice. But they're great guys, right? But, you know, he's upset about this. Yeah, and if anything, like you said, it just gives the Canes a platform now. And they're able to sell the shirts. They're selling T-shirts now about this. It says, what's the T-shirt say? Like,
bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks.
Bunch of jerks. Yeah, yeah. It's great. Like, it gives the team a thing to, like, drive them right now. And bunch of jerks.
Actually, wouldn't mind like, one of those.
It gave them identity.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
want
funny
a bunch
because
of jerks
so many
shirts.
People, exactly. Yeah. I want one now. I want a bunch of jerk shirt. Like,
please hit the Fantasy Network, New York City. Thank you. Care of George Kurtz. Very much.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they gave the team like something like a mission almost now, actually. Like, they gave Carolina a purpose. Like, they're a meaningless franchise to suddenly sort of have a purpose this year. Yeah, like you said, Cam, too, if this is what he's getting pissed off about, right, he's got to pick his spots, I guess, but he's got nothing to cry about, so he's really, really pissed about this. It's just so stupid. It's just such a ridiculous thing to be that mad about, especially like, you know.
Speak anger.
Especially like Don.
You can't be that angry about it. Like, give me a break. You can't be.
Well, you should really understand it. They're trying to sell the game in Carolina,
I know,
right?
It's like, yeah, yeah, they are.
But I don't think I'd feel any differently if Toronto was doing this or Winnipeg was doing this or any other team that sells
teams
out every night. I wouldn't
do
care.
That shit at the end of the game, too. It's almost the same thing as the old stick up in the air and the clapping.
Right. They just take it one
just,
step.
They turned it up a notch. They pulled NFL parties, you know, the bowling ball, the bat flip, and all the other shit. It's basically, they do all the stick things. They've just added components to it. Big deal. So when guys do it in football, it's cool. You know, Joe Horn whips out a cell phone or, you know what I mean? Guys try to bite everyone's style and stuff. It's funny. Like, this is another thing about sports. It's not like real life. Real life can be hard enough. Like, everyone's got to friggin' loosen up. Like, you know what I mean? That's the thing about hockey that really pisses me off. Why do you have to be dry and boring to be playing hockey? No, it's not. It's supposed to be a fun game. And that's the thing, Morency. I told you when I saw him in Vancouver and stuff like that, like, sometimes Don Cherry's not all there. Like, I don't know what, like, it's got to be hard to do that segment at that age with that kind of passion, but sometimes he just goes on ridiculous tangents about nothing just to get attention. Now people are talking
85.
About it. Yeah, exactly. Got a lot of respect for him, too. It's hard to do. It's hard to do that thing. Yeah, it's 85. Like, getting through that segment time after time, day after day, got to be hard, but I know, really, you can't feel that angry about that. That's just trying to fire it up and get stories out there.
It's just a few minutes, exactly. Like, they dial him in a couple of minutes before. I don't know how much longer he can go. I mean, he still actually gets through it. It's not like, oh, he's got to go.
Yeah.
But
it's getting
you
close,
know,
though.
Basically, they should get him out of there before he says something really crazy. And basically, he's only remembered for like his last comments. You know,
it's actually
I mean?
A wicked point that you
like
bring
I'm
up,
telling
and,
you,
and it's going
like
to happen.
Old people start to like they lose their filter.
Oh,
bro.
I know, I know they do.
He's
before.
Not going to care one day.
He gets
not
away
gonna
with
care.
It.
Like he's going to be up there.
Yeah,
he's going to have a beer before, and he's going to go. You know what? I'm done anyways. F these people. They want to get rid of me, and he's just going to go off, man. He's going to go, who knows what he'll say.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. He's been close before and, like, straddled the line, like, with racist comments about, like, European players and stuff. You wait, man. This is just the beginning of the iceberg, and I agree with you 100%. George, this guy's skating on thin ice. I'm with Morency. I think something
Yeah, I don't trust
gonna
him
happen.
Either. He's going to say something. You're right. He's going to say something racial.
It's going to be bad.
Something about whatever it'll be offensive. Like, he's like you said, you could tell he's danced, like he's always on that line. And when you get old, George, right? I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, I remember they said, I saw with my grandfather, he was a big gentleman, my grandfather, but man, he was pretty lippy and stuff with the nurses at the end. And I was like, wow, it's like not like him at all.
You have no filter. You don't think before you talk.
And basically they said, oh, no. They explained to me. They said, oh, no. They said, basically, when you're close to death, exactly. It's just there. You're like a kid. There's like no, you have to tell the truth. It's almost like you blurt out what you're thinking. You know what I mean? It's like that movie, like you blurt out what you're thinking. And it's funny because George, they said that about George Bush Sr. when he passed away. If you remember, they were like, oh, he said something sexual to a nurse.
Yeah, the
stuff.
Lady, hey, baby. Or,
it's like, yeah, because he's an old horny man, right? Like, basically, like, he's on the way out. There's no filter. So, yeah, you got a nice ass or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's the way it happens. Like, so I'm just saying, like, Don Cherry, like, yeah. Like, his wife and his son and whatever, they got to, it's, don't just let him stay on until he drops dead on TV. Like, get him off before he says something really bad, because I'm telling you, it'll happen.
It might have been the only thing people remember him for, too, if it does happen. You know,
yeah,
Gabe. Shame about
yeah. yeah, Gabe. His daughter runs a grooming service for pooches. Yeah, she's my mom. We went there a couple of times. Cherry's Groommobile. Great gal.
Well, that's information I can real far with tonight.
Yeah. I'm with Morenci though. That's my bet. Like it's, and the thing is too, I got to be honest, Gabe. There was like a coup before. Remember when Sportsnet and TSN, they had the big hockey thing with the CBC song. There was a big, big contingent that wants Cherry done. It was kind of like a lot of the younger guys are kind of like, you know, we want him done. But it was like the older guard versus. It's going to happen a lot of time. Like that's what people don't understand. There's a big, big faction that want him done. So we'll see.
So Cherry, he's been on the verge. He's been on the verge of being fired like five times.
Million
seven
times
over the
exactly.
years. But now I think they've just accepted that whatever, dude. Like he's here till he's here. He's here till he's here. Because it'll be a bad look for them if they run him. All right, Game Time Decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, we'll get George Kurtz out of here. You can hear George and Cam every weekend at 11 a.m. Right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, George, before we get you out of here, our boy Drewzilla, Devils fan, sends us the Carolina Hurricanes have changed their profile, actually, on their Twitter. Carolina Hurricanes, at NHL Canes. That bunch of jerks with the fun celebrations. It's their new profile.
Smart.
Good for them. Good for them. Play into it. You might as well play. You are the Carolina Hurricanes. Nobody cares. Hell, half the normal fans don't even know there is a team in Carolina.
I think Cherry will come around. Instead of digging in, like, I don't think Cherry's going to go to war with Brindamore and stuff.
He loves
I think Cherry will come around. Ah, oh, you know, they're all right. And, just, you know, keep it down a bit. Like, I don't think he'll double down. I don't think, because now, like, basically.
Like Kucher.
They're almost taunting him now, though.
Yeah, doubling
yeah,
down.
Like they're
talking.
They're making T-shirts. They yeah. made the profile.
Good for
like
them.
They're doubling down on Don. Old Don would come hard next week.
Yeah,
you guys are selling T-shirts. Oh, he'd yeah. like he'd come hard at him. He'll probably forget.
Yeah,
I bet you
what did I say last week? I don't remember.
Somebody will ask Ron McClain. What about Don? They'll be like, "Don't worry, he'll forget about what he was mad about last week, right?
Yeah,
he'll have a new beef."
Dude, the Canes are eating it up anyway. It's good for them. It is good publicity for them. People are eating it up. I mean, everybody's talking about it. It's not like just this show. I've seen this talked about on NHL Live.
Dude,
they're talking about the same thing. It's great.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about the Hurricanes. They get attention. All right. So before we get you out of here, George, big games. Speaking of the Carolina Hurricanes, those bunch of jerks are laying -225 to the Rangers.
It's a lot of juice.
Tampa's at Philly tonight. Pittsburgh here in New Jersey. Toronto at St. Louis, Columbus at Montreal. Columbus got beat up last night. I was on it. I was on Tampa. Now they're in Montreal. Montreal Canadiens minus 125. That, you know, some cool games. Toronto at St. Louis, Columbus at Montreal. What's your take, George, on the NHL card?
But Columbus better win tonight, because by sitting Bobrovsky last night and starting Columbus Stahl against Tampa Bay, they were saying we can't beat the Lightning, but we're going to beat the Canadiens tomorrow night. I'll go with Columbus, but man, that's dangerous tonight. I just think what they did last night was sort of sad.
I'm going to take the Blue Bloody Rouge, the Montreal Canadiens.
Hey.
George Kurtz. Thanks, George.
Later, George.
Be good, guys.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your news update. Manny Machado, bing, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. The San Diego Padres, hey, they've agreed to deal with the free agent infielder. It's a biggie. Machado's contract, 10 years, $300 million. The reported deal, which includes an opt-out clause in year number 5, would be the biggest free agent contract in the history of North American sports. The two sides have to hammer out a couple legalese deals, and Machado still has to pass a physical. Last season, the 26-year-old was on fire, hitting .297 with 37 home runs and 107 RBI for both the Orioles and Dodgers. Over the course of his 7-year career, he's appeared in 4 All-Star games, has 2 gold gloves, hit a .282 average as well, 175 dingers and 513 home runs. This agreement ends nearly 3 months of speculation about the prized infielder's destination. Machado had varying degrees of interest from the Yankees, the Chicago White Sox, and Phillies. After signing Machado, the Padres' payroll sits at approximately $110 million. The question is now, hey, where's Bryce Harper going to go? Even with this massive signing of Machado, the Padres have not ruled out potentially signing Harper as well. They have the money to do it. San Diego has spent big money in recent years. The organization gave first baseman Eric Hosmer an 8-year, $144 million deal just a year ago. They also inked Will Myers to an $83 million contract extension in January 2017. Plus, they have one of the MLB's top-rated farm systems. Maybe some good times ahead. Champions League today, Morenci. Listen to this one. You're going to hope you got the unders. Liverpool versus Bayern Munich, scoreless. Lyon and Barcelona, scoreless. 0-0 are your finals. Breaking UFC news, Kelvin Begastelum will take on Israel Adesanya for the interim middleweight title at UFC 236 on April 13th. Tony Romo is going to be teeing it up with the big boys. The former Dallas quarterback has accepted a sponsor's exemption to play in the AT&T Byron Nelson at Trinity Forest Golf Club in his hometown of Dallas, Texas. This is going to be Romo's second PGA event last March. He played in the Dominican and missed the cut after a 77 and an 82. Duke reclaiming the number one spot in college hoops. They got 58 of 64 first place votes. Duke climbing one spot to replace Tennessee, who lost to Kentucky over the weekend. Gonzaga number 2, Virginia number 3, Kentucky 4, and Tennessee goes from first to fifth. Nevada, Michigan, UNC, Houston, and Michigan State. That rounds off the top 10. Let's take a look at the board tonight in NCAA hoops. Things get crazy at 6 o'clock. Dayton and Davidson start off the party at 6. Davidson minus 3.5, 133. Number 5, Tennessee, hosting state rival Vanderbilt. Balls 17.5, 146.5. Buffalo entertaining Ohio. Bulls, 18-point favorites, 155. Number 15, Purdue at Indiana. Boilermakers minus 6 on the road, 138. A battle of the top 25 teams in the Big Ten. Iowa hosting Maryland Hawkeyes, 2. 147 is your over-under. Kentucky red hot at Mizzou, laying 11.5 on the road, 133. And number 16, Florida State at Clemson. Tight one here. Clemson minus 1, 132.5. Iowa State and Baylor. Cyclones laying 10, 140. And Antonio Brown and Steelers owner Art Rooney clearing out the air today. A lot of issues, but one thing is certain. Both parties say it's time for the Steeler to move on. Both want to move on. Brown says, hey, he wants guaranteed money. If you got it, give him a call. The 30-year-old 4-time All-Pro receiver desiring a guaranteed deal. That comes a year after quarterback Kirk Cousins signed a 3-year fully guaranteed contract with the Minnesota Vikings for $84 million. The Arizona Cardinals have signed former Bills tight end Charles Clay to a 1-year deal. And in the NFL, Gronk's agent says the veteran tight end will decide on his future in the next few weeks. The 29-year-old set to carry a cap hit of nearly $12 million for the final year of his contract in 2019.
in the NHL. The Dallas Stars have checked in on Matt Zuccarello. Jets blue liner Dustin Bufflin out at least 3 games with a new lower body injury. Very busy night on the ice tonight. 9 games on tap. Good sked. We talked about the good ones. Columbus at Montreal. Habs minus 125. And the Leafs versus the Red Hot Blues. The St. Louis Blues laying 30 cents. Total 6. Arizona and Edmonton late game at 9 o'clock. Oilers laying minus 170. Over-under sits at 6. And in the NBA, Michael Beasley is taking his talents to South China. The 30-year-old veteran forward signed on with the Guangdong Southern Tigers of the Chinese Basketball Association. Keep it locked here at the Fantasy Sports. You like that one, Bretzi? And what does he play for? Cash, cash, cash. Keep it here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Yeah, digging deep, buddy. I got to get the news. News, news, news. Me and Gabe will have more picks for you. Yeah. Guangdong Southern Tigers of the Chinese Basketball Association. Hey, we're going to have more picks, more sports talk, and a whole lot more. Stick around. It's Red Heat and Rage Radio here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back to you, Yang.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, that was the 5 o'clock metal update. Although, I like Linkin Park, but not quite metal. Like, it worked better, like, yeah.
Neon Nights. Oh, no.
Yeah, what was the one I did last week? That Neon one was a Nights. Smooth bet. Yeah, that old school metal.
Again.
Love it.
Again and again. Yeah, Neon Nights. 6 o'clock is the hip-hop
That's right.
Hour.
That's right.
You had to switch it up because Cam was
speaking of hip-hop. What's that, Yang? The levels are so low, bro. We can't hear you, the music, anyway, so it doesn't really matter what you play.
No, I was saying that.
What did you just say?
Cam, I said I changed the song a little because Cam was singing the sports updates the last time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's
right. No, no, it's all right. No, yeah,
Michael
yeah.
Beasley Don't worry about heading, that. Heading to Guangdong.
6 o'clock will be hip-hop.
The Chinese Basketball Association, Guangdong, Southern Tigers.
So yeah. I see. I'm just looking on Twitter here, like the New York trends. Machado, something Machado. Called Jordan, but not Jordan. J-O-R-D-Y-N. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'll look in a second. Padres. All right. Tristan. What's Padres? Tristan?
Tristan Thompson? That's what I would assume. What's Tristan?
Since I can't complete my request.
And
then I see John Wayne is trending. And I knew, like, it's funny. We were just talking about Don Cherry, Cam. And I said, yeah, you better get Don Cherry, like, off of TV soon. Like, basically, like, you're pushing it now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and for the reasons that we stated, and you agreed, that he's going to say something ultra offensive. And, you know, he's going to get yanked off of TV, and that's what he's going to be remembered for. And they're not going to be able to bring him back to the award shows and, like, hey, because they're going to be like, oh, no, you just said, you know what I mean? So when I saw that John Wayne was trending, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I even thought right at the end of the last segment, I was like, oh, look, John Wayne. I'm like, oh, I bet you people found, like, an old interview or something that he said, or suddenly they're going to be like, holy shit, John Wayne's movies are kind of racist, right? And lo and behold, they've unearthed a couple of interviews from John Wayne that it's not good. Like, you'd basically think David Duke did the interview. But like I just tweeted during the break here, Cam, like if I tell you that John Wayne's racist, like, are you surprised?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. So they went to a Playboy. They found a 1971 Playboy interview. Wow, they're keep digging. Wow.
Yeah, but the thing is, his comments... We're not going to get into it. I'm just throwing it out there like it's an example for Don Cherry. Because, listen, you can go back in time and say, wow, was it different, this and that. 1971 is not that long ago,
no.
Like, for the things that he's saying, it's pretty over the top. You know, but like
I'm
said,
reading
so a guy
this shit,
made a career out of killing Indian people in movies.
Horrible. This is brutal. I'm with you. Wow. This guy's a straight-up KKK member. That's bad comment.
Yeah, so basically now, even though he's dead, John Wayne is getting canceled. He's getting pulled from TV from the grave.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Things are getting cold out there. I see tweets are saying that the dude from Empire just accused John Wayne of attacking him. I shouldn't laugh.
No, sorry, man. You can't crack those jokes. You know I'm going to laugh. So, that's the thing, though. It's funny. Like, in today's world, though, Brexy, we need a little bit. Like, no, John Wayne, he's sick. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, an N-bomb and, like, a couple other things. Like, that guy's, like, straight up.
I've never been a John Wayne fan, though.
No, he's got to put a white sheet over his head. Like, he's out of control. Like, he needs to be stopped.
I'll be honest.
That's
like
crazy racist
shit.
That's nuts. That's brutal.
I'm more like Pinko Kami than
that's what people don't know.
Then like I'll lean more that way than like even like Westerns. I've never liked Westerns.
I've always thought
that Westerns are like blatantly racist and stuff. Like,
oh, you got white guys like, just like, you know, like, the Indians don't even have a fair fight.
Yeah.
They're sitting there with friggin' bow and arrows against guns. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I like archery as much as the next guy, but what am I gonna do with a friggin'
dude,
bow and arrow
some show
against a guy with a gun? Like, are you kidding me? Give me
there's
a
some show called Wagon something Wagon House or
Wagon. I know what you're talking about. Wagon wheel. I think that's a dessert, like May West. They have the wagon wheels, remember? Delicious. But I know what you're talking about. It's like gun smoke wagon. Let me see. Wagon.
Wagon.
I think I know you're talking about. I'm about the wagon. Yeah, wagon. Wagon wheel.
I actually saw it, like, over the holidays.
Yeah.
I was at somebody's house, and they had it on, like, the Western Network all day. What's the name of the show? Wagon House?
Wagon House? Is that what it is? I have no idea.
Man, I punch in Wagon Wheel. Darius Rucker's got a song named Wagon Wheel.
Of course he does. Well, got some NCAA in the wagon wheel. I'm going to Oklahoma. Darius Rucker, what has he done?
Darius Rucker is performed for like the whitest events possible.
Oh, I know. He's the guy friendly.
Like, he's safe. Like, Darius Rucker ain't. Yeah, Darius Rucker ain't like an Ice Cube's 3-on-3.
No.
And Darius Rucker
with those guys.
Darius Rucker does golf, NASCAR. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, and NCAA football too. Like, he's big. He don't come on, love my Gamecocks. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine Dragons have stolen that over. Yeah, what's the name of that stupid show? Like, somebody will know if Larry and Wawa is tuning in or old man. It's Wagon. Wagon House, wagon. Man, it's right around Gunsmoke. It's like
right by Gunsmoke.
It's on before or after, whatever. It's one of those shows. But dude, same thing. I'm watching it, man, and it's the most racist show like ever. Like, it really is. Like, I'm not native, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, if I was native, I'd probably come and blow your TV station up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was watching this. I'm like, white people always wonder, why is everyone else so mad all the time? What are you complaining? Oh, that was a long time ago. It's not. Like, it's still on TV. Like, it's still there. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
no,
like,
no,
it's like
me.
Just sort of, oh, in the Western, like, the Washington Redskins, same thing.
I know.
Like, they got to change the name. You can't have that name. Like, the fact that they're so bold and they dig down deep. Right? And the thing is, though, some people will sanctimoniously call out some racial things and say, well, that's racist or that's racist. But then they turn around and they look the other way for other things. Like, for me, like I said, and I'm not Rachel Maddow here, but even me, Cam. The name the Redskins is wrong. right?
Yeah, and it's
I'll be honest.
You know me, Morency, and a long time ago I used to say, overreaction. The more you think about it, though, it is wrong. It totally is. Like, in the younger days, like Redskin, I go, yeah, name a tradition. No, it's not a prideful thing. Like, you look at Seminole, you have Seminole tribe, but you have other, like, Cleveland Indians is another thing. Like, that's not as bad as, like, Redskins is the worst of the worst.
No, like I said, in that show, the wagon thing, that's what they're saying. They're all like, oh, like, they're one of the deal the wagon thing is just like one white guy that's trying to bridge the gap, right? And, of course, everyone else in the village hates the Indians, except he gets along with them. And it's just blatant. Like, the guy comes in, he's like, well, what's the Redskin doing at the dinner table? You know what I mean? Like, shit like that. It's like, put it in context, it is racist. I don't care if Dan Snyder found some tribe that he freaking paid off and gave season tickets to, right, that says it's okay. Like, it's not. Like, it just isn't. And the NFL are scumbags, though. They don't care, right? They don't care. The thing is, Cam, would Bomani Jones couldn't even wear the T-shirt on TV.
Oh, the Caucasian
shirt. Caucasians.
That was awesome.
ESPN threatened to fire him. They're like, dude, we'll fire you. Like, they're like, and Bomani gets away with a lot on ESPN, and that was the line for them. They're like, yeah, you can't wear that. You can't have a Cleveland Caucasians T-shirt, which is ridiculous. Why not? It's less offensive than the Cleveland Indian T-shirt.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought it was pretty funny too, and that's the thing about Bomani, Gabe. You know, I go on a show, we did NFL picks a while ago, and I'm happy his career's been great. And you know what I mean? We told it the way it is. And I think he has every right to do that because, yeah, he's basically saying this is nuts and I'm going to go out and put this on. And it is offensive to other people. And yeah, you're right. Like, I'll tell you about these stations, though. There's a lot of them in the network now. We know TV. TV costs a lot of money to produce, guys. And me and Gabe, you know what I mean? Like, radio is a little bit different. Look at the way we do things on Skype now, whatever. Like, to have a studio and stuff. There's channels now. They have no new programming. Like, trust me. Like, I'm looking through my program. It's all old episodes. Gunsmoke. Shows from, like, the 60s, 70s, whatever. Barney Miller. Like, you know what I mean? They don't want to pay. They'll rather pay the small fees that they have to run these stations, Gabe, than put any new programming on, which costs the station money to run. So I find it, that's happening a lot these
the
days.
Westerns
a lot of channels.
Cheap.
Yeah, the Westerns you get for nothing.
The Westerns are dirt
cheap.
Yeah,
like, you're cheaper than, like, Who's the Boss?
I got canceled.
Growing Pains. And,
I got canceled on TV by Gunsmoke.
Yes, you did. That's exactly.
It's almost impossible.
They didn't want to
pay. I got canceled.
It's not your fault.
I got canceled
for free.
A show that wasn't on TV.
Yeah,
the show hasn't been on TV for 40 years, 50 years, and I got replaced by it. Basically, that's it. Like, they were like, well, TV shows cost us like $200,000 a year to produce. And they're like, you know, the old man, you know, wants Gunsmoke on, and it's basically like, you know, $6 an episode. Like, literally. Like, you literally, like, it's like, you can pay the rights to Gunsmoke. They're like, yeah, sure, you want it. You know what I mean? Like, like, all those old Westerns, it doesn't cost anything. So, like, right now, I guarantee you, there's, like, TV network executives for somebody's, like, lower-tier networks that they see this John Wayne, and they're like, oh, God. Oh, my God.
I know.
And they're reading it. They're like, oh, God. And then they're like, all right. Fine. You know, I guess Gunsmoke hasn't pissed anyone off yet, right? Like, they're going to have to find another Western type thing that hasn't, like, the other thing that bothers me about Westerns, so they're racist, number one. And the other thing that really bothers me, Cam, as a horse lover, the horses were treated like shit. And a lot of horses died doing these things. When those horses, like, fell and stuff, dude, they had ropes tied to their legs, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, those horses were treated miserably and horribly. All right? So that's another reason why I've never liked Westerns. I'm not down. I've never been down. I've never been a John Wayne guy. And, in fact, I thought it was ridiculous that they had the airport, John Wayne International Airport in Orange County.
They're going to change
like I
that.
Said, I'm not
that's
surprised
go.
About this.
That airport, after this, put that, take that
No, now they're going to, no, but the people are going to fight it.
No,
dude, they don't want to take Confederate flags down.
That's, yeah, well,
they're going to argue. They're going to say, ah, oh, John Wayne, boy, you're all politically correct. Oh, it's a long time ago.
They should. The guy, if you read his interview, I don't care who you are. You can't support that. It's crap. It's straight out. It's evil. Like, it's nuts. Yeah, you're right about those TV stations, man. I know a lot of them here, like, they're in big trouble. They're in the meeting room right now going, shit, what are we going to do, man? Those Westerns were like a big part of our block programming here. They enjoy
you know what the problem
$6
is with the old shows? And I love that stuff. Like, I remember Sun TV. Sun TV used to be good. It was just King of Kensington. And
yeah,
it was like
all old Canadian shows.
It was just, yeah, they had old Canadian sitcoms and a couple of classic sitcoms. You know what I mean? And whatever, it was like old retro, but it didn't cost them anything to be on the air. Then they got their brilliant idea. No, let's go political.
Yeah, news. How did that work out?
We're going to be like, well, Canada's Fox News.
Yeah. They were done.
They lasted like 8 weeks.
At less.
Before they offended everybody. Game Time Decisions continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Wagon train.
That's Larry. Larry
Trujillo.
These guys are on top of everything. I'll tell you one thing. We could take Larry, Gabe, if we were ever on one of those.
That was close. Wagon wheel?
Yeah, you were a wagon wheel. I told you, wagon wheel's a nice dessert. Wagon train was close. If we're ever on Jeopardy, I think Larry and Drewzilla would be like guys we'd call for lifelines. Oh, man, too. Like, there's a couple guys here. They really know stuff. They know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'd call Larry.
Larry.
I'd call Larry for, like,
anything
if
historical.
Fun. Who wants to be a millionaire when you get the phone call?
Yeah, Larry. Larry and Wawa. Okay. Patch him through.
What's the name of that show? Yeah, get Larry on the phone.
Larry.
Hey, Larry. Is it wagon wheel or wagon?
What?
Wagon train.
Wagon train.
Wagon train. And, yeah. Dude, those shows, they, like, brainwash people. I'm telling you. Like, I saw an episode of Wagon Train, and it was like the workers weren't getting paid, all right? So they were building, like, the railway, and they weren't getting paid.
Yep.
And this dude's like, screw this. And, like, he's a big dude, and he tells everyone. He starts beating people up that are working. And he's like, stop working. You know what I mean? He goes, otherwise, we're going to build this railroad for free, which he was right. So he's like, stop working. And then the lead guy in the wagon train came in and humiliated the guy, like stuff his face in like the water thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they beat him up with a shovel.
Yeah.
You know, and the chick was like, oh, he's so dreamy. And like, and then he's like, gee, guys, you know, I understand we're late getting paid, but we got to build this. And, you know, old man Johnson's going to come through with the money. And like, he went through this big thing. And it was just sort of like this, like they sort of just set like a narrative of like, yeah, it's just, you know. You know, the workers, yeah, back to work. And then, like, it's so racist, like, the show. But all these shows, like, so. But like you said, like, it's one thing. I'm not stating that every actor in one of these movies or TV shows is, like, a raving racist. But like you said, John Wayne just took it to a whole new level.
He did. Like,
he's more racist than I thought he was.
That's the thing. Like, an old guy once in a while, you know, whatever. Like, it's just, but no, that's like, there's hate and like venom and like in his words that are just taking it up to such a level. Like, it's white supremacist level. Like, it's out of control. That interview, I actually read it. I thought it was just going to be a couple things, Gabe. It shocked me how bad it was. You called it, though. You're like, John Wayne, this can't be good. Well, it was worse than that. Like, that's awful. In a 1971 interview, I'm just like, wow. Like, everything he said was crazy.
It's not 1871.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Wagon Train.
Wagon Train.
I tell you, Cam, quite a
what
successful
a show.
Run for Wagon Train.
Good show.
Started in 1959 all the way through to 1965. It's hell of a
strong
run, actually.
Strong. That's nice.
Other TV shows similar to it, Gunsmoke, Rawhide, How Gun Will Travel, The Rifleman, Leave It to Beaver, Bonanza, Father Knows Best. And I watched an episode of The Rifleman, and that was pretty freaking racist, too. All those Westerners, they just are. Like, they're racist. Like, they should burn the tape of all of them, like, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a debate now, and it's going to come up. Leave John Wayne alone. It was an old interview, and it's, oh, it was yesteryear. But
no, there's nothing. No, like a joke. No, you can't defend him. Sorry, like, you can't.
Like, you know, like Don Rickles used to be, hey, look, you know, look at the guy in the front row. Don't steal my hubcaps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's big.
You know, there was bad sort of stereotypical. Yeah.
That's an act.
You know, like he would drop, you know, but it was just cheesy, you know, goofy strip club humor type thing, right? With the drum. Like, you know what I mean? It was some one-liners. This is like just like deep, like, yeah, it's, anyways, we'll move on from it, but. Yeah. So John Wayne, put him on the list. Like I said, it's like, well, John Wayne's canceled.
Yeah. Can't wait for these old networks. I have to get some new programming. You're right. Like those shows are still on a lot. I'm telling you, man. Like I go through my cable. I like last night, me and Lisa were watching TV. Like
nobody watches them though.
Old Star Treks are like, oh man, they're like the networks love that stuff. Morenci, they love the old popular shows. Takes up a lot of time.
Like
Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone's a lot. Like I'm telling you, man. Like I really take the TV for a spin. A lot of old shows. These networks are all going that way, man. Live programming costs money. Old reruns don't. So you're gonna see a lot of it.
On a the total opposite end of the spectrum, actually. I think we should talk about Don Newcombe. So a right-handed pitcher, Don Newcombe. Was the third African-American pitcher to appear in a major league game. He won the first Cy Young Award in 1956. Passed away at the age of 92. On Tuesday, the Dodgers announced Don Newcombe's presence in life established him a role model for major leaguers across the country. He was a constant presence at Dodger Stadium, and players always gravitated to him for his endless advice and leadership. The Dodgers meant everything to him. We're all fortunate that he was part of our lives. Core member of the 1955 Dodgers who won the World Series in Brooklyn. In addition to winning the National League Rookie of the Year in 1949, he was the Cy Young Award winner in 1956. He was also the National League Most Valuable Player in 1956. Until Justin Verlander accomplished the feat, he was the only player in baseball history to be a Rookie of the Year, an MVP, and a Cy Young. I didn't realize that Verlander did that.
Me neither.
And he's got a hot chick, Verlander, man. He's got it all. Not only did Newcombe provide a link to the Dodgers' roots in Brooklyn, but he was also one of the dwindling number of living players who once played in the Negro Leagues. As he spent his age 18, and when he was 18 and 10 years old, he played with the Newark Eagles right here in Jersey. And, in fact, right behind the Meadowlands, there's Don Newcombe Highway or Road or something. I always noticed that. I'll tell you what, so Don Newcombe, yeah, so he was one of the players came in, third black pitcher in baseball history. In 1949, you know, breaking barriers, tough time for everybody. Jackie Robinson was the first, but Larry Doby was in the American League. He doesn't really ever get credit. Like, it's not like they got less hate than Jackie Robinson did, Cam. You know what I mean? Like, it was just as hard for them. Right, like, or even worse, because like Jackie was actually a star, right? So these guys went through hell, man, absolute hell. And I can tell you, like, you know, we were talking about Frank Robinson last week passing away. Now he's another great here on Don Newcombe, and I met Don Newcombe too, but just as a fan. And when the Dodgers state that he fans gravitated towards him, and he was just such a classy guy that when I was going into Dodger Stadium once, and he was crossing the street, going into the parking lot. It was Don Newcombe. And I said, oh, hey, Don Newcombe. And he said, hey, how you doing, young man? And he took pictures with kids. And he was always at Dodger games. Great, great ambassador for the Dodgers. Great guy. Really, really nice guy. The opposite of John Wayne, pretty much, yes. We'll say. The opposite of John Wayne, Don Newcombe. And I guess I'm going to look it up. He must be from New York or New Jersey because, like I said, they got a road named for him. It's right behind MetLife Stadium, right over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, actually. That back road is basically Don Newcombe. Don Newcombe Way or whatever the hell it's called. But hell of a pitcher, real class act, real gentleman, man. Real gentleman. Like, Like Don Newcomb was a real, real gentleman. Like Frank Robinson, like I, you know, I'm always honest. Frank Robinson was a hell of a player, but Frank was a gruff guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was like Michael Jordan, sort of, Frank Robinson. He was very, very thick-skinned and, like, you know, like, Don Newcomb was like a teddy bear. You know what I mean?
He looks like...
Frank Robinson wasn't, like, taking pictures with six-year-old kids before every game. Trust me.
good point. No, Don Newcomb just, like, even from the pictures, he just...
And I don't mean that derogatorily.
Like, you're being honest.
Yeah, like, they're different personalities.
Dude, Don Newcomb's more of a friendly teddy bear, and Frank Robinson was a little gruff. But they're both legends. Like, no, you bring up a good point. I didn't realize, like, look at Newcomb. Like, he has some crazy, crazy stats there. That's a... What a career, Morency. That's cool that you got to meet him, even if though it was brief.
Yeah, the thing is with the, like you said, these stats too, the stats is that the baseball was good in those days, right? So they were pitching against good players, right, in the 50s. You're talking about, you know, the greats, a lot of the greats. Although baseball obviously is better when it's fully integrated, you know, worldwide, right? I mean, there's only a few black players in the early days here in the 40s into the 50s. And, you know, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, et cetera, you know, really wasn't full on. And, you know, that has to be taken into consideration. But, you know, the 50s, into the 50s, like mid-50s, into the 60s and stuff, it was a high level of baseball, though, Cam, you know? You know, we're talking about, you know, the Roger Maris's,
yeah,
and the Joe DiMaggio's, and Sandy Koufax,
yep.
Duke Snyder, you know, Jackie Robinson. Yeah, like elite players. Bill Mazeroski, like elite players in that era.
Look at the other times, too. So you're just going through the list. I'm just learning about this now. Best pitcher in the Negro Leagues, became first great black pitcher in MLB, won Cy Young Award, won the National League MVP. The guy served 2 years in the military, too. Like back then, the different times. You talk about these guys. You know, are you kidding me? Like imagine that. So these guys serving in the military.
Think of what a pile of shit that is, serving in the military for a country that won't let you vote.
Yeah. Excellent point.
Think about that.
Excellent point.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, you know? Although I still, to this day, I don't understand how you can serve in the military.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Oh, it's Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage at Radio. I just found a great interview with Don Newcomb, actually. Great stuff. When was this interview conducted? The Don Newcomb's rare interview. Dodger Gray talks about barriers and breaking them down. The Orange County Register. All right, Don Newcomb. Let's see. What year did he do the interview? And I'm trying to find 95-minute interview. 2005. All right. Did a 95-minute interview at Dodger Stadium in 2005 that was arranged by the Negro League Baseball Museum. He recounted his early days in the game with Sweet Lou Johnson, a major league outfielder in the 1960s. He's also a member of the Dodgers front office. All right. There's some crazy stuff here. It's cool here. When we talk about Jackie Robinson and his impact on Montreal. Well, Jackie Robinson, he said, when Jackie was signed to play in Montreal in 1946, Roy Campanella and I signed to play for the Danville Dodgers in 3-1, Illinois-Indiana-Iowa League. When president of the league heard about that, he called Branch Rickey, Dodger president, and said, I'll close the freaking league down. They'll never play here. There was only one team left in the Dodger farm system where we could go, and that was Nashua, New Hampshire, in the New England League. One of the people of Nashua, the way they welcome us in. And, you know, just great stuff. He takes you behind the scenes of his journey. Being called up to the Dodgers, 1949, Newcomb got the news he'd been waiting for. Two Dodger pitchers to develop arm trouble. Newcomb got a call in Montreal. Newcomb played in Montreal, too. Talent in the meet in Chicago. Couldn't believe when I walked into the clubhouse. There was Jackie Robinson, Gil Hodges, Roy Campanella, Duke Snider. Even though he missed the first month of the season, Newcomb was named a National League to the All-Star team, won 17-8 with five shutouts, and was Rookie of the Year. Great interview.
Born in Madison, New Jersey, Gabe, June 14th, 1926. Yeah. Went to high school in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Yeah, so you're right about New Jersey there with the names of the highway and such.
Yeah, like I said, I noticed these things. I noticed
Johnny Greer.
I noticed the highway name.
Johnny Greer too. Wow, that's crazy. Huh. Very interesting.
New Jersey had. I said New Jersey. I never really realized. I learned more about it as I'm here about Jersey's baseball history.
It's vast.
Like the first baseball game was played in Hoboken. Right near the bar we were at.
Really?
Yeah. Hoboken, there's like the first field, like the first baseball game was there. Eliason Fields in Hoboken, New Jersey, is believed the site of the first organized baseball game, giving Hoboken a strong claim to the birthplace of baseball. Location, 11th and Washington Street. Like, man, I passed this the other day, actually. There's a plaque. I've seen the plaque before, but I was hammered when I saw it.
Yeah. What's this plaque? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so all the teams were all the Knicks camp. Here's the plaque. On June 19th, 1846, the first match game of baseball was played here on the Eliason Fields between the Knickerbockers and the New Yorks.
Huh.
It is generally conceded that this was the, until this game, this is the most seriously regarded first baseball game ever, actually, says the plaque.
Funny how it's New York and Knickerbockers, and that's a basketball team. Yeah, check out.
Yeah.
Morency, radio host, historian.
Yeah, I'm going to give people tours.
Exactly. Come
right here. Back. Right here is where Frank Sinatra robbed someone when he was 9 years old.
That's crazy how it's New York and the Knickerbockers in New York, and it's baseball, yet that's the basketball team's name. Kind of interesting. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. I'm on Google. Cab. I'm 0.6 miles from here.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm that close. Like, I'm 0.6. Like, yeah, I'm going to walk over. I got to take my own picture of this. Like I said, like, I was with Drusilla, actually. I think we were leaving the bar after a UFC, the Pig and Parrot. Like I said, it's down there. It's not that far, actually. Like, basically, it's a few blocks from me. So rest in peace to Don Newcomb. Real class act. Real class act. I look forward to reading this full interview, actually, after. I like the, I enjoy the history, Cam, the history of the game.
Yeah, the history of the games. I was just saying, so I was just going through Twitter, and I don't know if I've lost my mind, but Sooner Lisa's got no heat, and then I see the next tweet from, like, JR and says, old JR's got heat, or something. Like, is JR hitting on Sooner Lisa, you know, like, from wrestling, like, JR? What the hell is going on here? Oh, yeah, here's the plaque. Nice. Okay, check it out. Baseball, yeah, June 19th, the first bat. Yeah, that's a nice play. HIBA, I see it. Good call, Drusilla. See, Drusilla's quick.
What, he tweeted that picture of the plaque?
Yeah, he's got it. Between the Knickerbockers and the New Yorks, it's generally conceded that until this guy, the game was not seriously regarded. Yep.
Looks like he took this picture the night we were out there because it looks dark and wet.
It does, yeah. You're right, because that's if you look at it, it looks dark. That's the flash on that. That's definitely taken at night. Definitely.
Yeah. Like I said, like it's not far from me. I'm gonna soak it in. I like to go check out the field as well. I like old history like that. I wouldn't mind even checking out Ebbets Field. You know where the stadium used to be. I think it's like apartments and condos now. Actually. There, but in Montreal, like where Jackie Robinson played the stadium, I used to pass it every day. I used to always stop once in a while and stop and blaze one there, you know, drink a Pepsi, have a seat.
Sounds nice.
So soak in the history, of the sport a little bit. But so Machado signed right now. And I'll tell you what, though, San Diego aren't a complete joke, Cam. I remember betting on them quite a bit last year. They've got a lot of good young players this
team, agree.
Actually.
I agree. Yeah, the wins, you know, we talk about the White Sox. It's always kind of, I tell you, you day late, dollar short type of thing. I believe in the Padres. The one problem is, Gabe, I believe they're starting to hitting starting to come around. Sometimes the pitching gets a little bit erratic. It'd be nice if they had, like, a certifiable ace in that staff. The Giants are going to be definitely taking a step back. Arizona looks like, you know, they're a team that still has a lot of work to do in kind of a mid-rebuild, and the Dodgers are the team to beat. It wouldn't be shocking if San Diego made up a lot of ground. It's now or never. I think they made this move because when you really look at the Giants, they have nothing. The Giants have three nobodies in the outfield. All their stars are aging. Even Bumgarner, he's a good pitcher, but he can't do it all himself. A lot of issues there. Lots of question marks with the Giants, man. And I'm telling you, that team has got old fast. The Padres, they can make up some ground in that division. Obviously, the Dodgers, the team to beat, but hey, the Padres can beat up on those teams now, teams that used to beat up on them, the D-backs and Giants. I like it.
They are the Dodgers, too, according to Keith Law, per ESPN.com. Keith Law, number one farm system in all of baseball, actually. The Padres are poised to sit at the top and near these yep. rankings for quite some time, even though they're likely to lose at least three top 100 prospects to graduations. Four players. And I was reading about this earlier, actually, that they have four sort of monster players under contract for the next 4 years. They've got Fernando Tatis Jr., another yep. young kid of a Major League Baseball player. So here's their starting lineup right now. Ian Kinsler, Manny Machado. So Ian Kinsler was second base. Manny Machado, shortstop, batting second. Eric Hosmer, first base, nice. Batting third. Will Myers bats fourth. Left field, Hunter Renfroe, right field, fifth. Manuel Margot, center field.
Yeah, Margot's awesome. Yep. That's a good team, man.
Margot's.
That team's good. Like that,
reminds
that,
me of Mr. Furley on Escargots.
Escargots
here. He went to the restaurant. Yeah,
Margots. He got style, yeah.
Hey, Margot. Francisco Mejia. I can't pronounce any names anymore. Yeah, Ty France.
It's tough.
I can pronounce Ty France. But you're right. They're starting pitching. They got a couple of young guys. What's their? Let me check their rotation here. They're going to be a competitive team, though.
Yeah, they need help in the pitching, though. It's still something that, you know what I mean? They're okay. They have a couple good young guys, but guys that really have to take it up a notch, get an ace there. No, I really like that 1-6 in that lineup looks lethal. Like, those are all very, very good players. So there's a lot to look forward to.
All right, so they're – oh, yeah, their pitching's bad.
Told you.
Lucchese?
Yeah, he's going to be – he's a kid, though, so he's going to get better. Yeah, Lucchese, yeah. Who else they got there?
Stretching out a lot of people.
Yeah, what about –
Robbie Erlin?
Still there? Yeah, Erlin's he's hitting
no,
us. Yeah.
Their starting five is Lucchese, Robbie yeah. Erlin, Logan Allen,
yeah, don't know
Brian
him.
Mitchell, and yeah, Matt prospects. Strom.
Yeah, a lot of young guys there. But the first two, Erlin – Lucchese's going to be okay. He was a guy that called him up maybe a little bit too early, but don't be surprised if they actually go and get another pitcher too. And they say the farm system's good. We'll see. I think they need a pitcher more than anything.
He strikes out a lot of people, this guy.
Yeah, he does.
Lucchese, yeah, I remember him from DraftKings. 70% of his pitches were thrown for strikes. No, that was just in one game, but yeah, he's got a 10K per nine inning average, which is pretty impressive. So, yeah, it was 8-9, 408. Struck out 145 in 130 innings. Walked 43. There's potential there for him to get better and become not an ace, but, you know, a mini ace for them. You know what
yep.
I mean?
I agree. Still, you're going to need more than one guy in today's world there, Gabe. That's the thing, right? The other guys on the rotation. I really like the fact that the hitting's going to get better. Erlin's okay. The good news is when you look at that rotation, they're still young. So anything could happen. They can get better. But it'd be nice if they could lock down kind of a guy that's just a little bit, you know, a name, somebody that they can put like maybe in the
Their win
hole.
Total, Cam, their win total was 77.5. So just to compare. So even before this, the oddsmakers had San Diego winning 77.5 games. Feels a little high, doesn't it? Like, I'm thinking that with Machado, maybe. You know, like, I would have went under before. You?
No, I like the
you
over.
You went over?
I like the over because of the division game. I'm telling you, like, the Padres before, there's a big, take a look
at the
Dodgers.
Giants are still good.
Yeah,
the Dodgers are still good.
Yes, the Dodgers are, but do the math with Arizona.
Colorado are good.
Arizona's going to regress, and the Giants will significantly regress. They're going to be actually one of the worst teams in baseball. I think they're projected. Their wins total, other than Kansas City and Detroit and, like, way at the bottom with Baltimore, they're the fifth worst team in MLB.
73. Yeah.
Correct. They're way at the bottom. See? That's the thing, man. I'm telling you. Like, it's I wouldn't mind. It's a good call, Jefferson. Dallas Keuchel, somebody like that for the Padres. They need somebody that's kind of like just an average guy you could throw in the rotation if there is a type of problem there. One more arm would be good because when I look at that team now.
Yeah, Pete just, yeah.
I think that's good.
Pete's tweeting in here talking about Marcus Stroman, which we all know. Marcus Stroman ain't going to be a long-term J, dude. Just trade him. He pitches all the time anyway.
Yeah, he does. He pitches. Like, yeah. You want San Diego?
I like him, but he talks much too much for a kid that's hurt all the time. Like,
I like him too, but
keep
had
your
enough.
Mouth shut, Stroman. Stop bitching about what the organization's
Correct.
Doing. Oh, we should have did this. We should have. Dude, you should stay healthy and go out there and pitch. You just get the feeling that he's he's not part of their long-term plans. I mean, they want to use him as long as he's cheap, but you know they're going to eventually trade him. They nearly traded him in the offseason. But, yeah, San Diego will need pitching. That's their thing. I want to see if the number changed, though, 77.5. I don't think Machado will have that much of an impact on
this. I think he'll have probably one or two more wins. That's about it. That's what the number will – Vegas will adjust it to, like, 1.5.
Yeah, because they're not going to jack it up 81
no,
or something.
No,
people will
just
hammer
one,
the under, right?
1 or 1.5.
Game time decision continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Game time decision, ready, great radio continues. You know, last night, Cam, right at the last second, I went 3-1. Of course, we're not on the air last night. I went 3-1 with the picks. Nearly swept the board, but I fell short. I had the over in the Kansas State game.
Yeah,
but I went 3-1. I was on Tampa and hockey, hit a couple college basketball games. But right before 8 o'clock, literally, like, I had like 6-7 minutes and the clock was ticking. I'm like, why not? I'll play a little college basketball DFS. Except I really didn't have a lot of money in my account, and I just saw they didn't have a lot of contests. So I saw, they had a 25-cent jukebox.
Yeah, the old jukebox.
So I jumped in that.
Put the quarter in the jukebox.
I jumped in that. I had 247 people in it. And I was, like, leading for most of the night, Cam. I was in first place. I ended up finishing fifth or sixth, whatever. And
how much?
Yeah, frustrating. I wasn't a big pay because it was a 25-cent jukebox. Yeah,
true,
but
true.
My point is I've never won one of the tournaments before. Like, you know, I've come close a bunch of times, but I've never won, so it's frustrating. I want that. Hey, at least I won. Boom. I won a stupid tournament on DraftKings, even if it's a smaller one. And I thought last night was the night, actually. And why? Because there was only two games. I only picked from two games. I didn't pick from, you know, you pick like we were talking about last week. You know, like you were saying, you don't like it when there's only a few games. It's actually better for, like, for the more casual player when there's less games. Like, the more games there are, the more, like, Dinkmeyer has an advantage type of deal.
So what games were in Colorado? Like was it Colorado, Arizona? And what was the other late game there?
No, it was K-State, West Virginia, and TCU,
yep.
And Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of which, actually, I know it's Tuesday today. I'm caught off guard because it feels like Monday, but it isn't.
Yep.
I was caught off guard a little bit. Dick Meyer said he's got a hockey guy for us, actually.
Oh, nice.
They, you know, like they're – well, yeah. Like
Scout Radio, yeah, had a, Scout Radio had a hockey guy on today. Because there's no basketball. They had a hockey guy on. It's interesting.
Yeah, a bunch of people are going to be playing hockey tonight that never do.
Correct.
So there's tens of thousands of people, Cam, are going to be counting on your hockey lineup not to suck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be a good hockey lineup tonight.